This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Thursday. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced last week that it was updating childhood vaccine guidelines. The agency now recommends vaccines against only 11 diseases, down from the previous 17. Aspen Public Radio's Sarah Torrey reports on how public health officials in the Roaring Fork Valley are reacting to the changes.
CDC officials said the decision is based on a, quote, comprehensive scientific assessment. But the agency bypassed a key panel that historically votes on vaccine policy recommendations. Colorado, however, now follows guidelines issued by the American Academy of Pediatrics. They continue to recommend all 17 vaccines. But some public health officials worry about the inconsistencies. Carly Senst is the epidemiologist for Pitkin County.
Colorado is not an island. Public health is not an island. You really do need population-level protections and population-level guidance.
She worries about how neighboring states affect the spread of childhood diseases in Colorado.
What Colorado does is fantastic, but it will be impacted by the states around us, by the fact that we live in a country that has high rates of mobility, and that it will just continue to sow distrust in vaccines.
She says the different recommendations will likely cause confusion and could lead to a decline in vaccination rates. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Sarah Torrey.
Pitkin County is rebuilding the Aspen-Pitkin County Airport runway and constructing an entirely new passenger terminal. County commissioners reviewed preliminary designs for the airport renovation project at a meeting yesterday. Designers are aiming to make it the world's most sustainable airport. During a presentation of the plans, architect Tony Martinez said that sustainability is essential to the design.
They're not things that can be removed or value engineered out as we move through. They become integral, and so that really makes sure that the end product will reflect this community's commitment to the environment.
The county is trying to reduce airport emissions by 30%, with hopes of reaching net zero. Ideas to get there include installing solar and geothermal energy, improving access to public transportation, and pursuing sustainable aircraft fuels. Designs won't be finalized until later this year, with construction scheduled during a 9-month airport closure in 2027. The Pitkin County Board of County Commissioners has opened applications for its District 2 seat. That's after District 2 Commissioner Kelly McNicholas-Curry announced her resignation. The individual appointed to the District 2 seat will serve through the remainder of Curry's original term. It runs through January 12, 2027. To be eligible, applicants must have lived within District 2 for at least 1 year and must continue to live in the district through the remainder of the term. And they must be registered to vote in Pitkin County. Applications will be accepted until 5 p.m. on February 6th. The application form is available online and paper copies may also be picked up at the Pitkin County Administration Building front desk. In statewide news, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is unveiling a new restoration plan for wolverines today. Wolverines are 20 to 35-pound weasels that look like small bears with bushy tails. They live in alpine areas near treeline. But Colorado's wolverine population was wiped out a century ago by humans. The plan calls for bringing in 15 wolverines per season for the next several years. They'll be released in high mountain areas, including in the Elk and West Elk Mountains. Given their small size and naturally low population densities, wolverine depredation on livestock is not expected to be a significant issue. And in regional news, despite the Trump administration's push to roll back protections for federal public lands, local environmental groups are still trying to secure new protections for landscapes across the region. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more.
Wilderness Workshop in western Colorado has campaigns going to protect landscapes like the Continental Divide, the North Fork Valley, and the Crystal and Dolores Rivers. They're trying to secure congressional protections for these places, like wilderness designations and wild and scenic protections for rivers. These types of safeguards are harder to obtain and harder to undo. Michael Gorman, the group's campaign director, says the situation is urgent because people in our region already feel the impacts of climate change in the form of warmer, drier winters and longer wildfire seasons.
Protected lands can be effective carbon sinks and carbon sequestration. And then we know that the demand for water is only increasing and our supply doesn't seem to be going up.
He says the group's strategy is to build local grassroots support for beloved landscapes over long periods of time before they take proposals to elected officials. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Mountain West states will receive over $1 billion to improve rural health care in the coming months. As Jenny Kinsey reports, the funds were passed by Congress last year.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services announced funding for what is dubbed the Rural Health Transformation Program. Officials across the Mountain West praise the funding, including Mark Gordon, Wyoming's governor.
Wyoming has secured over $200 million in federal funding to address basic health care problems that rural families live with every day.
Some funds will help rural hospitals, emergency and tribal care, workforce training, and preventative programs that tackle diabetes, heart disease, and suicide. Arizona, Idaho, Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada, and Utah received an average of $200 million. Overall, the initiative will pour $50 billion into the rural health care across the country over 5 years. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Jenny Kinsey.
More ambulances in our region are starting to carry something called whole blood. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, the treatment can help trauma patients before they get to a hospital.
Patients with life-threatening bleeding from a car crash or serious fall usually get IV fluids, but whole blood is an emerging alternative. It includes red blood cells, platelets, and plasma, allowing for quicker stabilization. EMS providers in Summit County, Colorado, started carrying whole blood in December. Division Chief Lou Lorena says it could be used dozens of times there each year.
There are patients that we could potentially have saved lives if we had whole blood a long time ago. It's like, okay, now we have it. We're going to do everything we can to recognize these patients and give it early.
Whole blood transfusions are still uncommon outside of hospitals because of cost and logistics, but more first responder organizations are getting on board, including 15 in Colorado. Agencies in Idaho and Nevada are also researching it. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
Indigenous students and families are concerned about rising costs as the U.S. Department of Education resumes wage garnishments for federal student loans in default. The Mountain West News Bureau's Daniel Spalding has more.
The Department of Education started to send notices to borrowers whose loans have gone unpaid for more than 9 months. Employers can withhold up to 15% of disposable income without a court order. This policy may hit Indigenous communities especially hard. Higher education analysts say that about 40% of Native borrowers default on their federal loans, and many carry balances longer after graduation than other groups. Nez Perce tribal member Sienna Rubin, who graduated from the University of Idaho in 2021, says wage garnishment adds another financial burden to Native families already stretched thin.
I feel like student loans obviously like come less because are you eating them? Are they feeding you? Are they housing you? Are they doing any of this stuff?
Rubin also says that Indigenous alumni often have the additional responsibility of supporting family members. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Daniel Spalding.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.